I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Lantern Rouge Cycling Podcast, presented by Zwift. LR here with Benji for the Vuelta Stage 2. We had the TTT yesterday, and I was on a walk just down behind Ordino, the Ruta del Ferro, and I was talking to Mrs. Rouge, and I was like, why isn't there more hype for TT time gaps? These are the things I'm always talking about, the cognitive bias or towards, if we had seen Primoz Roglic put 33 seconds on the road into Almeida yesterday on a mountain, we'd be like, holy, huge gaps. But because we don't see them together, 30 seconds, big gaps. Anyway, that was my thoughts this morning. But this is a sprint stage, no big GC gaps expected. 176 Ks from Zertogenbosch, which is, they have the little S climb, which maybe they should have included and made one of these stages of Brabants. Like, why are we in the Brabants region with no Brabants to pale light? Why have we got two sprint stages, Netherlands? Come and explain to
me. Because the Brabants pale is in Belgium and the Brabants Dutch region is this one. So there's a difference between the Dutch Brabants region and the Belgian Brabants region. And no, that's the reason.
Not allowed. Same region.
It is the case.
Is it actually connected though? Like,
no.
They're two distinct places.
There's a province in between. Yeah.
Sort it out. Okay. So it's a flat sprint. We did have the Alto de Amarongsa, 2.1Ks, 2.4%, which had the KOM jersey on offer. And there was a flat sprint, 176Ks. We had a delightful motorway overpass, which blocked the helicopter shot of the last 400 meters. Absolutely delightful planning and visual spectacle for everybody. But we had a breakaway, Benji, as expected, with, I think Vandenberg was in it, Dutch rider, unsurprising for EF.
Yes, certainly. I think he got second in a Bing Bang Tour stage back in the day in 2018, the one where Mohoric won from the breakaway. Vague memory. I think he won a stage into the Polonia last year as well. Julius Vandenberg on EF Education Easy Post. Javier Asparen also in this team. I remember this rider from being a decent Spanish DTer. Is that correct? Yes, third at IDTNCs. Haha.
He's good.
The memories are still all right. I'm happy about that. That's a rider from Euskaltel Euskadi. And then we've got Thibaut Gernalec, has been in the Quintana squad, I think, this year in quite a few races. Also in the early season, if I recall correctly.
Besej is all right.
Exactly. He was actually pretty strong at Besej. Top 10 GC. Pretty good rider. And he was in this breakaway. So that's our third rider. Miquel Po from Equipo Kenpharma. He's a rider. I think he got a podium at a stage in Adriatica Ionica, but I don't know much about him. I won't lie about that. Jetze Bol at Burgos BH. He was in that breakaway a few years ago with Madrazo, I think. Both from the same team on a like uphill finish. And then his teammate ended up winning the stage. Is a memory I have of this man.
Madrazo.
I think it was 2019. Yeah. Madrazo actually not starting this Vuelta because he got COVID just before the start of this
race,
if I recall.
How the fuck do you know whether a Burgos guy has gotten sick? That is like detailed in the weeds. You must be following so many Twitter accounts. I have no idea. I mean, Madrazo, yeah, maybe he has won a Vuelta stage. Is that, that's the break?
Didn't he like get a PlayStation when he won a Vuelta stage or so back in the day? I don't know. I've got vague memories about Madrazo. Anyway, that's the breakaway, but there was some drama before the start because there was a truck blocking the road at like 35 kilometers in because of a protest. In the Tour de France, we had protests for climate change, like to improve the climate and so forth. In this one, we had protests to open up the gas fields in the Netherlands. So a bit of a difference between the two Grand Tours here. I won't comment on that. It was gone by the time the riders reached it. So no issues. The protesters apparently said that they didn't want to block the race. So that's a positive on this end, I guess. And we ended up riding this this breakaway stage with Alpecin being the team that is controlling the breakaway. And this is where the storyline starts becoming interesting because Alpecin decided, How about we try and catch the breakaway at 100 kilometers to go?
I keep telling you that they don't know what they have, no subtlety, Benji. Like, they, I don't know, because it's not like, I get it, when there's that 10 kilometers to go, 2k 6% climb, you want to keep the brake close.
Yeah,
that isn't here. Like, you will just catch the brake like in UAE Tour, man, and then have nothing.
Also, the Amarungs is coming, my friend. Don't forget the
Amarungs. They do Amarungs that at 45 kilometers an hour, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, like, I don't know why they were pulling. I guess they don't have any proper last men. No Rickard here, no De Bont, I don't think. But, yeah, pretty curious. I think Vandenberg did make it over that, took the KMM jersey by a point. And then Lewis Angel.
Yeah, because
the
tempo in the peloton, like, was significant to catch a breakaway, but with 10 seconds between the breakaway and the peloton, Alpecin was like, let us set up again. So the gap went out to 30 seconds again, and then they started chasing again to keep it at 30 seconds. So I think they realized when they were at 10 seconds, like, oh God, we're going to catch up too soon. This was not part of the plan. So anyway, Alpecin storylines, Luis Angel Mate, tell me more.
Well, he counterattacked, wanting some exposure for Euskaltel. I'm not sure if he's retiring. He's a veteran of... He's not actually a Basque rider, I don't think. I think he might be from Andalusia. But he's a long-standing Spanish rider. He's
doing something for charity, I think, as well. Okay. But I don't know what specific thing it is, whether it's...
most Ks in the break, money per kilometer. That would make sense, right?
Would make a lot of sense. And I think Mater is doing the same again, where he's doing it the amount of riders that he beats in this Vuelta for the entirety of this year. And I think he's like over 2K already in the amount of
3K,
money that...
I think.
Really? Oh, keep it up, Shino. Keep it up. And Mate. Anyway, breakaway is caught again towards the end. We're going towards the final sprint, and then Remco Evenepoel is keeping himself at the front with his team, right?
I didn't get it. I've got some thoughts on this, but before we get to that, I'll mention our show partners, Zwift. Zwift Academy, it's back and registration is open for 2022. Whether you're aiming for a pro contract like Jay Vine, who's here in the Vuelta for Alpecin de Koenig, or Neve Bradbury, or just looking to kickstart your fitness with some structured sessions, Zwift Academy will help you get fitter and have more fun on the bike. There are 6 workouts to complete, either solo or in group workouts, with baseline rides to compare your progress before and after. Zwift Academy. Thanks, as always, to Zwift for supporting the show. Quick step Alpha Vinyl, Movistar, Bahrain. Very, very nervous about the road furniture. It was a pretty sketchy running with 15Ks to go. The sprint teams did not have to come to the front, and we barely saw them. The bike exchange, Durbridge train, lead train, which I sort of heralded yesterday, was non-existent. And Remco is obviously very nervous, and my faith is diminishing every day, actually, every time I see, because like Roglic and Jumbo Visma couldn't have been more chilled today. Roglic is like, this ain't the Tour de France. I'm not fighting for position. He's staying at the back, and you didn't even see Jumbo Visma. They have the horses to do it. They have Dennis Turnison. Yep. Afeni, if they wanted to, they could have, but they're like, nah, we're not fighting for position in Vuelta sprint stage, not doing it. And Quickstep were like super nervous in doing it. Even Alaphilippe on the front, Benji, it's hard to call it a waste of energy. No one's done the study to prove whether it is worth fighting at the front. There was a funny moment where I think, I don't know who it was, on Bahrain, and it was Cavagna on the left-hand side. They were shouting at each other for half-wheeling, and they're like, you slow down. No, you slow down, because they're in position. So GC Lander obviously is alive and well, because he put Bahrain to pace. Mas is nervous as usual. I don't know. I just think... like
Drago.
Who? Petraga? I'm not sure he has... does he have the sway in the team to put everyone on the front?
El Patron,
I'm not sure.
2.0.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't have a problem through the technical section, Benji. My problem is when Alaphilippe is still there and Remco is still there with 1,500 meters to go. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, be serious for a second. 3-kilometer rules happened. Relax. Stop fighting.
Yeah, but it's not the only team that was doing that. Ineos was doing something similar in the last 3 kilometers, where they had Carapaz in the first 3 positions led by Van Baarle, and they also had a second rider in between Carapaz and Van Baarle. I don't know who the second rider was, to be honest. And
Clock.
They kept him at the front. Was it Blapp?
Clock.
Oh, was it Clock? Okay. He had
Clock,
special glasses
Carapaz,
on.
Van Baarle.
Okay. So those two riders were at the front, and I started noticing, well, Ethan Hayter's not there. Where's Ethan Hayter? Is he going to not sprint today? Is he at the back of the peloton where he usually is? Possibly. So I wasn't seeing Hayter. I didn't have beliefs in him sprinting this stage anymore when I saw those two riders being at the front in this stage of the race. And when it comes to the rest of the teams, you said it, Bike Exchange limited in the amount of riders that were still there. There was a point where they went to the left side of the road and they tried to put Groves in the right position, but it looked like Carapaz, who was left over from the GC rides at 1.5k to go, kind of Groves slotted in the wheel of Carapaz instead of moving past Carapaz with his lead out. And then Carapaz starts moving backwards and Groves starts fighting with Merlier for the wheel of Ackermann, and Groves losing another position. And Groves lost quite a few positions because of choosing Carapaz's wheel instead of a sprinter. And I think that's something they can work out. I think it's logical that Carapaz at some point in the last 1.5 kilometers will drop back and that Groves will have to find another wheel to sit on. So that's one thing in the final sprint where I'm like, that's something that team can better in this final, is what I'd say. But when it comes to other teams, everybody was fighting each other. Let's be honest about it. I think Merlier was fighting McLay in some corner. I don't know what was happening there, but the positions, the problem is every single sprinter wants to go up with a pilot to the front. And if every single sprinter tries to do that, then they're going to be fighting for the sprinters. Same wheel.
Everyone. Yeah. Lotto Benji, Bulens, like everyone's trying to get to the front. It's a mess. Everyone's fresh. It's been the easiest stage at the start of a Grand Tour. Luckily, there weren't huge crashes. Impey went down with Roger Adria. But that was the only crash. There wasn't a mass pile up, thank God. And the cliff notes to this is the team with the best lead out won. Brian Mullen launches it. Koch, I think, before him. Then Danny van Poppel goes super hard last man lead out. We don't know when Bennett launched. It wasn't like with 100 to go. It was a bit further out. We don't know because of the overpass, which blocks the helicopter shot, and the front on camera because of the contrast and sun exposure, you can't actually see them under the overpass either. So that was, you know, 1 kilometer of action and we missed 200 meters of it in the stage. Fantastic. And yeah, Bennett, he's probably his best sprint of the year because, as I said, it wasn't gift wrapped, although he got the best lead out by far. Pedersen went from miles out as is customary. Merlier came third. That fighting with McLay, I think, did cost him because he was in Bennett's wheel. But Bennett was snappy. Like, if Bennett didn't have the legs like in other races, Merlier maybe comes around him. Turnison finishes fast for fourth, but doesn't take bonus seconds, but he does take the red jersey from his teammate Hersink. Ackermann fifth, Milano I didn't see, McLay sixth, Einhorn seventh, Stewart eighth, Degenkolb ninth, Groves 10th, and Evenepoel 14th. Like, what is he doing? Like, that's ahead of Cockart. That's ahead of people trying. Like, Cockart, he's like trying for a result, maybe, like, I don't know, maybe he wasn't, but
green jersey, it's coming.
Relax, it's man. It's 3 week race. Relax. It's Vuelta sprint stage. Come on. Don't need to be wasting energy on this. He could have won the stage though if they'd ridden for him just quietly. But Trek Benji. Mm-hmm. The team, the lead out for Pedersen is non-existent, just about. It's got Kirsch, but Kirsch is like a setup man. Edward Turns was a really good job at European champs for Yak. He's Belgian, not Dutch. For Merlier. He's done 62 race days already, but they've sent him to Polonia, Wallonie, and Balwaza. But now Pedersen's here at the Vuelta, and he doesn't have a last man on Turns' level.
I believe that Turns would have been a good addition to this team, to be honest. And I think they've got the spots in this team to have that rider extra here. And it might have been the difference between Pedersen losing this and Pedersen winning this. Now, obviously, Van Poppel had a great lead out in this final. Let's not forget that. Amazing lead out, arguably the best lead out of this entire season. We can argue that Laporte is one of the riders that is the competitor for that spot, but I'd rate Danny Van Poppel a tiny bit above Laporte personally. We've seen Laporte make mistakes that Van Poppel wouldn't make this season. I think so as well. Now, when it comes to Trek, I feel like there was a moment where Kirsch was fighting the Quickstep train or something, and I don't know whether that hindered Pedersen in this in this final stretch.
Well, it was a little bit far out. That was a little bit further out. That was Ilan, yeah. Ilan Van Poort, like, yeah, Quickstep really doing that. And this is what I was also thinking about. On a separate walk I did today, I had another thought. I was walking up to Colordino, and I was thinking, have any teams, yeah, I obviously don't know much about cycling history, but like the Jumbo-Visma Tour de France win came off the back of gradual improvement. Not in the riders necessarily. Some of them improved very fast, but I mean the team's results. Like the directors are learning, okay, a sixth or fourth in GC with Hersink a decade ago. And then Kruijswijk third in GC in 2019. And then Roglic is a favorite. And then it didn't work out in 2020. And then Jonas second and Roglic crashing out. And then they get the win. It's like a decade of going to the tour, trying to get the best GC result, being a realistic top five candidate in all those years versus Quickstep, where they don't have, like, when was the last time they topped 10 to Grand Tour?
Run podium to Giro for Quickstep in 2012.
Okay, so a decade ago they did. No, and Giro, was that when was he on Quickstep when he got robbed by the neutralization on Stelvio? That might have been 13. So best part of a decade ago. I remember Lefebvre was threatening to sue people, maybe.
14.
14. Okay,
Donna
so not
won in 14.
But my point is they're going from, like, complete shift, and they're going to make mistakes. Like, it seems Jumbo-Visma, last year we saw it. Roglic and Kuss are just like, we're just not fighting for position in Vuelta sprint stages. We're just not doing it. In the Tour, you have to. But it's interesting. That's my big question mark about Quickstep is, do they know how to ride a three-week Grand Tour GC as a team overall? And they're going to make mistakes. But anything
else? Vuelta, 2019, they podiumed.
Okay,
right?
So my theory's not holding too much water, but he left. Maybe he left because he wasn't happy with how they were riding Grand Tours. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's dead. Anyway,
no, but they're not UAE Jumbo Visma Ineos. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like where they're doing it every year. Like points semi stands. Anything else from this sprint, Benji? Any flying finishes like a Philipsen in the early Tour de France sprint stages who you think has good legs but bad position today?
Honestly, I'd have to like rewatch the final sprint to see what a Stewart was doing, what an Einhorn was doing, but also what happened to Gross that he ended up being 10th instead of being good. Was it the factor that I said earlier that he kicked on to Carapaz's wheel, which was the wrong wheel? Mike Tönnesen was one that came from far and ended up 4th, and I have not confirmed yet, but has he taken the red jersey or has he not taken the red jersey?
Pretty sure he has.
Okay, then Mike Tönnesen takes the red jersey based on the fact that he has more points in the points classification, and because of that...
Or is it cumulative positions?
That might be it, actually.
I think it's the cumulative positions, so that's why he has it ahead of Athini, Omen, Roglic, yeah. Kuss. Okay. There's some time gaps as well on the stage, apparently. Now, these happen on sort of first cycling and pro cycling stats, but then if there's a crash in the last 3 kilometers, they all get given the same time. But for the time being, O'Connor's on 26 and Igita is on 31. Plapp's on 36. I'm just looking for any GC around 43. Anyone?
Hesink dropped and lost 43 seconds, if this is the case as well. And maybe they did that on purpose to give it to a different rider on Jumbo the next day.
Maybe. But I don't know whether these time gaps will stand. But yeah, there's guys GC adjacent losing time, even Lutsenko. Like, this is very curious. Like, Lutsenko, I don't know. It's, yeah. Like you can't be losing 30 seconds extra like Santiago Buitrago if you want a good GC result here. So that's something to monitor for tomorrow, whether there'll be even more nervousness. That sprint stage is 194Ks from Breda to Breda, though. There's one Cat 4 climb. I expect Julius Vandenberg to be back in the breakaway. It's 300 meters at 3.7%. And yeah, it's going to be a sprint again. Learnings from today is that I would get on Sam Bennett's wheel. would be what I would try and do. I would try and get on Sam Bennett's wheel, and Danny Van Poppel will probably deliver him in pretty good position, and then hope you can come around him.
Yep. That would be a good take. I'd argue the same. I think Marlier got hindered by McLeay a corner before the final sprint, and as a consequence, did not get his full sprint in, spent some energy beforehand. Bennett does put himself back on the list when it comes to, in my opinion, the riders that can win the stage again tomorrow, for example, based on the lead outs of Van Poppel here. And I might have said before today's stage, Bennett will likely not win because even if Van Poppel brings him to a good position, he's shown quite a few times this year that he wouldn't make it to the line, but today he did. So while the victory of Bennett would never happen today without Van Poppel, Bennett still finished off the last 100 meters, whatever it was, 120, 150 meters, against a Melier upcoming behind his wheel and a Pedersen who was, yeah, the guy, like, let's be honest about it. He needs to launch late early because he doesn't have the acceleration to launch late. But if he launches too early, then he's also not going to make it. So Pedersen's in a difficult position when it comes to his sprint. He kind of needs a lead out and puts him in second position like Laporte to Van Aert in the Tour de France. And that way he can sprint from like second position and keep people behind him. I think that's the ideal lead out for a Pedersen. So, like, for example, if it turns, would have done that. But anyway, I do want to mention that we're starting tomorrow's stage with a rider less. Steph Cross crashed pretty badly throughout the stage together with Wout Poels, who hit the floor, and another Lotto rider that Malecki, I think, after returning from a very long injury recovery, but he's still in the race, fortunately. Steph Cross is not, who's leaving for TotalEnergies, by the way. Just want to drop that in while we're at it. But, yeah, that's the first abandonment of La Vuelta.
Steph Cross is going to TotalEnergies.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I hope he does well. I think he would have been going for, I think he came 20th in GC last year. He would have been hoping for maybe 12th to 8th, maybe 8th at a stretch goal in GC at this Vuelta with the sort of parkour I have. So a big shame for him. Could have been, maybe could have got there. But yeah, for tomorrow, I am going with Tim Merlier. I think he gets it right, and if he gets it right, he can win. But Bennett looks fast. So, but I don't know if Bennett can go back to back. I remember the Vuelta 2019, Jakobsen beat him the day after Bennett beat Jakobsen on stages 3 and 4. I think it might go back to back and forth. So I think Merlier wins tomorrow.
I'm going to stick with Merlier as well because he needs to win in the Netherlands because it's going to be tough after the Netherlands to win stages too much. So I'm going to go with Merlier as well just because then he can have a stage win. Bennett has a stage win. Then we get to the rougher stages. Hayter went for the intermediate sprint today. Got 1 second there. Does that mean he wants to get a red jersey on stage 4? All these questions. What's your take?
I think Hayter can definitely take it on... What stage would it be? 4, 5 might be a little bit difficult, but I think he climbs almost better than he sprints in the bunch right now. I think that must be the reason why he's going for it. For Bennett, Benji, like, Bora lost so much time in that, like, Bora lost over 30 seconds in that TT. Yeah. And Bennett also lost, he got dropped in the TT. So, because if he won tomorrow with 20 seconds, like they'd stayed within 15, he could have actually taken the red jersey, but that won't be happening. So we're going with Merlier, has to win in the Netherlands, and it will be another sprint stage. So make sure you take a little siesta once you see the break has gone. The break formation has been a lot less stressful than the Tour de France so far. And yeah, that's all from us today. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks to Zwift as always, and we'll see you at the recap of tomorrow. Ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.